Well, good morning, church. Wow, that sounds good. Thank you so much for being here this morning. It's always my prayer that you have a wonderful up close and personal experience with our Lord today in worship. In your bulletin are several things mentioned there that you should pay attention to. We want to bring out a couple of those in particular. Katie's memorial is going to be the 7th of March here at 10:30. That, my friends, is going to be a worship service. It's going to be a really positive and upbeat thing. Her daughters has made that clear that we're going to have that wonderful experience on that particular day as we celebrate her homegoing. Also, I'd like for you to know that this is in your bulletin connection card. If you're visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we would encourage you to fill this out. Let us know who you are and so forth. And on the back, there's a blank lines there. For prayer requests, if you have anything concerns you that you'd like for us to pray about, please put that on there. We'd greatly appreciate that. We have opportunities throughout the week. Wednesday night, supper at 5 o'clock, followed by Bible study at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you come out and be a part of that. We've got Sunday school, 9:30, all different types of classes. I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well. Thank you for being here today. You could be anywhere. You chose here, and that really matters. So I appreciate it. Brother Mark.
Good morning, everyone. Let's stand and sing hymn number 139, At the Cross. Please, everybody, stand.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he be both that sacred and for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he rolled upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
Sing out now.
At the cross where I first saw the light, there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy on the day,
on the last.
But cross of grief and every pain, the debt of love I owe, dear Lord, I give myself away, is all that I can do.
Singing this morning. At this time, our deacons are going to come forward, and anybody else that would like to come to the altar and pray with the deacons, we'd like to invite you at this time. You may be seated.
Our Father, as we gather in this place this morning, Lord, I pray that each one of us prepared our hearts in advance to worship you. God, as we pray and we know that your Holy Spirit's in this place, that God, you would just indwell each one of us with your presence. Lord, I pray all the distractions were left aside and each one of us would truly come in to worship you. As you told us, we worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would be honored and glorified by our worship. God, we pray that each one here today, Lord, just came into this place ready to see something miraculously happen, something glorious happen. If it's one that would come to know you for the first time, if it's an issue that we have in our lives that we need to come and pray before you, that, Lord, we know that you're faithful and obedient and you hear and honor our prayers. But God, again, as we go through this worship today, I just pray as the music continues and the pastor brings the word, as we fellowship and we pray, that all that we do, all that we say, would just bring honor and glory to you. And we just give you thanks for the opportunity to be here. God, many people throughout the world would just be privileged to be in a place where they can freely come and worship you without fear of persecution or punishment or death even. And here we live in a country, Lord, where we have that freedom to come in, and so many of us come if there's no other reason not to come. So, Lord, be with us. Be with this church. Grow our church in your way and in your timing. But most importantly, Lord, as we worship and come here, that we will do only what honors and glorifies you. And we give you praise for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's continue our worship service by everybody standing, and let's sing to the King. Everybody stand, please.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign.
And it's like the song said, we do belong to you. It's like we have a place that we can come worship you, Lord. We thank you so much for Brother Kenny, Mark, and the choir. It's all for your glory. We're all here for your glory. Our church family. I realize we have people in the church that is hurting in that, but you know, of course, you knew that before I even mentioned it. So just, we ask that you just comfort, keep watch over us, Lord, and just keep your loving arms around us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Awesome.
Our special music is a little different today. As most of you know and are aware, that we're going to go see Ernie Haas and the Signature Sound on Friday. So I wanted to give you just a little bit of a preview of what is to come on Friday. And who knows, there may be a couple that didn't sign up that after today, they might want to go. And I think we still got plenty of room. We'll have to work out the tickets. So if you would like to go, please let myself or Linda know, and we'll get you some tickets one way or another. But I hope you enjoy this.
Do you believe we have an awesome Savior?
Amen.
Is He worth praising and worshiping?
Amen.
Always, every day. Amen. We've been talking about worship now for several weeks, and I'm nearing an end to that, and that doesn't require an amen. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity now. I'm going to share something with you this morning that you might not believe, actually, that preaching is worship. It really is. It's worship. When we get to stand up and speak the Word of God and share the truths about the Word of God and share the things that are meaningful and important, to tell the story of Jesus, oh, what a Savior. You know, what a Savior. We have an opportunity to know Him personally. How much better can that be? God cared about us enough and loved us enough that He provided Jesus Christ for us, that if we are lost, we don't have to remain that way. That we have a Savior who's been designed for us, and He came for us that we might receive Him. And when our days on this planet are done, we spend eternity in a place that we can't even imagine how great it is. Thank you so much for being here this morning. The desire is that you will have a genuine, real worship experience this morning. While I'm talking about preaching being worship, I shared this with the Sunday school class a little bit earlier. I hope and pray that my voice is not the only one that you hear this morning. I hope that in your spirit and in your heart, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit making the Word of God real. So if you have a Bible with you, if not, there should be one close by in a pew in front of you there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll get going on what I hope to be a better understanding for all of us, including myself, on how preaching is also worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul now is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he says these words, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Join me as we pray. Lord, I want to thank You so much for inviting us into Your presence today. What a privilege this worship experience really is. As Brother Rick mentioned in his prayer earlier, what a blessing that we have to be able to do this corporately together here. Open and wide open in public here, we get to praise You and worship You and sing to You and think about You and glorify You. And Lord, as I get the privilege to share the Word of God on a regular basis here, Father, may it never be just something else to do. May it never be just the next line item in the budget or in the bulletin in the morning, Father. May it be a privilege that we just can't wait to hear what God has to say to us through His Word. Lord, we've had the privilege of fellowship. We've had the privilege of prayer. We've had the privilege of singing. We've had the privilege of giving. And every one of those, Lord, is signs of worship unto You, Father, for Your glory and for our growth. And now, Father, I pray that You would open our hearts and our minds to the preaching that is to come. Holy Spirit, make Your Word very real to those who are here today. May they be like a sponge, Lord. May they leave here different than what they came. We love You and we thank You for all You are and all that You do. What a privilege is ours to serve You in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, a guy named George Burns, some of y'all probably know who that is, he was part of a movie called Oh God. Maybe you saw that movie. They were interviewing George Burns before on the movie set while they were making the movie. And they asked him, because of the subject matter of the movie there, they asked him, he said, "Mr. Burns, what do you think makes a really good message?" Now that we're talking about religious things. And George Burns thought for just a minute and he said, "Well, I think you need a really, really good beginning to get their attention." And he said, "And I think you need a really, really good ending to help them be thinking about something as they go home, as a reminder of having been in the service." And then he paused. And the guy said, "Well, you said there was three things that was important." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I almost forgot the most important thing. You don't want a lot of time between the two of those." So As our homiletics professor in college used to say, there's three things that you need to do about preaching. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. And the hardest time for me is the third one, as you know. But that didn't require an amen. Come on now. Come on, this is a worship service. This is not. Wow. However right that is, I accept. The power of the spoken word, my friend, cannot be denied. There's no way that we can say that the spoken word does not have power, because you see, this book is alive and well. These words are words that can change any life at any time. And I believe when they're spoken as an act of worship, not only the speaker, whether you're a teacher or a singer or a prayer, not only the spoken word is important, but I believe the one who does that worships. But I also believe that those who have the privilege to hear may also have a worship experience as well. And this morning, that will be you. Not only do you hear the word of God spoken, not only do you hear it spoken, I pray passionately and honestly, but you as well have the privilege to worship. That's why we gather. We don't gather because there's nothing else to do on Sunday morning. We gathered in order to hear from our Heavenly Father, and most often we hear from Him through His Word. So I pray, my prayer this morning is that you will have a genuine, honest, up-close, personal worship experience with our Lord Jesus while you hear the Word of God being brought. It's why we gather as the body of Christ, and it's why we do what we do. It's an intentional giving of glory to God and an intentional desire on our part for growth. It is a celebration of the truth. I have shared with you over and over again, and I will continue to share with you, it is my privilege, it is my conviction, it is my statement of commitment to you that I will forever and ever love you with the truth of the Word of God as your pastor. It matters to me that I speak the truth of the Word of God in your ears. And while you're here, you have the privilege to learn that. I believe the Word is alive and well, and within it there's great wisdom. I believe there's the eternal instruction in there for all those who have a desire to find it. When we share this Word, we tell the story of how God is good all the time. All the time. Circumstances may not dictate that at one particular time or two particular times in your life, but when we look at the Word of God and we understand the testimony of the Word of God, the honesty of the Word of God is that without fail, God is good all the time. All the time. Circumstances, not so much. Situations, not so much. But God Himself is worthy of our praise, and He is good. We share this Word, we tell this story, because we want to, because we have to, because we need to, because it needs to be told. The psalmist surely did understand that. And he celebrated an awesome God who upholds and who sustains and who provides. And if you want to, you can flip back over to Psalm 73 real quick, or you can just listen. I'm going to read 6 verses to you. The psalmist says these words about God. He said, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And none, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." I love that first phrase. It is good for me to draw near to God. It is good for you and I to draw near to God. It is good for us to have a worship experience as often as we can, whether it's individually, maybe in our car, at home, or wherever, and corporately as the church. This was the text that was preached by a husband at the homegoing of his wife of 45 years. He talked about the goodness of God, and even in the most difficult times of his life, the theme of his message was to worship God at all times. And as he preached, he worshiped, and all those who heard him worshiped with him also, and it was a beautiful experience. The sermon is only part of our total worship experience, and I get that. Singing, praying, reading scripture, sharing testimony, and giving gifts are all vitally important parts of our total worship experience. and you all who have been here for the last several weeks have understood. We started talking about singing. Then we went to the part about prayer. And then we went to the part about giving. And now we're talking about preaching. But, you know, as preachers, we get to worship as we declare the word of God to our congregation. Make no mistake, when I get the privilege to share the word with you, to read verses, chapter and verse, that's an opportunity for me in my own heart and in my own spirit. I thank you, God, that I have truth that I can share. I thank you, Lord, that I have the privilege and the opportunity to stand up in front of your people and simply say, God is good all the time. My Lord takes care of me when I can't take care of myself. My Lord is my refuge. My Lord is my shelter. My Lord is my Savior. And as preachers, we get to worship. And I feel sorry for those who can't become passionately invested in the whole idea that we get the privilege to talk about what a wonderful God that we serve. I don't ever want that to get old. I don't ever want to stop being passionate about telling you that, guess what? You don't have to die in your sin. God sent Jesus Christ for you as a substitute so that you might receive him and be forgiven. What a message. Who could not worship with that? As individuals, you know, we get to worship and we feed on the word of God. As worshipers in the pew, you worship when you listen to the word of God being preached and you soak it in and you make application. Now, I believe that a preacher can preach without worshiping, but the word of God is never going to return void. That's what it says in the book. But a man of God, a preacher who truly experiences the joy of worshiping in spirit and truth, he's never going to preach without worshiping. There are some messages that are easy to preach. There are some that are not so easy. There are some that hurt when you hear them. There are some that are comforting. There are some that are confirming. And yes, there are some that are convicting. You know, we can preach. We have the privilege to preach. And that word's not going to come back void. I believe that what translates the words of a sermon from just intellectual truth and facts about God into genuine worship, I believe there are several things that makes that happen. I could stand up here and quote scripture to you all morning long. I could stand here long-faced and say everything that needs to be said to you without any emotion whatsoever, but I can't do that because I don't want to just give you intellectual truth. I want to worship. I want to thank him for all he is and all he's done and all he's going to do. You know, what is it about preaching that has the opportunity to captivate a congregation and lead those members of that congregation to worship? And I will forever believe that it's way more than just style or volume. It has everything to do with my heart and yours. Did you come here expecting to hear from God? Do you want to know what he has to say to you this morning? You're present and accounted for, and you could sit there and just endure this until it's over, or you could invite the Spirit of God to make the Word of God very real to you so that what's being said could be life-changing. So what, you know, what sermons are genuine acts of worship? What does it mean? What kind of stuff has to happen in a sermon for it to be a genuine act of worship? First of all, I believe that preaching becomes a sacrifice of praise when we exalt the person of truth. Sermons need to be about God. They need to be about the person of truth. When they exalt him, we praise the Almighty for all that he is, all that he has been, all that he will do. You know, it becomes an amazing situation for us. It never needs to be about the messenger, ever. Even when testimony or illustration is used by that messenger to exalt Jesus Christ, we should declare the goodness of God even when things don't go well. There's a song that the Gaithers wrote, and I forget who it is that sings it. Linda Randall sings it. It's powerful. It's called God on the Mountain. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe you haven't heard it. I asked Diane to pull that up on her phone today. I want to read these words to you. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you have never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith because you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And when things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. And the second verse says, you talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life is at its best. And now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, and that's where your faith is really put to the test. You see, for the God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. And when things go wrong, he's going to make them right. And the God of the good times, still God in the bad times. And the God of the day is still the God in the night. You see, the reason I share that with you this morning is because so many times it's easy for you and I to worship when things are going well. It's easy to be thankful to our Lord when there's money in the bank account and the cupboards are full and the relationships are right. But what happens when we show up at church and we have a desire to worship, but everywhere we look all around in our life, if we were to do an inventory, it just doesn't look good here and it doesn't look good there and it doesn't look good over there. That's when we need to say, that's when your preacher needs to look you in the eyes and be honest with you. God is good, my friend, all the time. All the time. He's the God in the night just like he is the God in the day. He's the God of the good times just like he is the God of the bad times. And we get to share those things. We praise our Lord. We elevate the person of truth. Second of all, preaching engages people in worship when it explains and expounds the gospel of Jesus Christ. What in the world is the gospel? It's the good news, my friend. How often do you get good news on Channel 9? Or 8? Or 13? Or anywhere? The gospel is the good news, and when it's explained, God's people are edified. They are built up. We need to be reminded on a regular basis of how good God is and what he's provided for us in the person of Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole idea is, you know, when the gospel is explained, people are built up. The unsaved are evangelized, and the truth of his word actually pierces us right where we live. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the points of and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When you and I hear the word of God preached or taught or expounded or even sung or prayed, the whole idea is that there's power in that word. There's grace in that word. It's sharp, more so than any two-edged sword. It is quick and it pierces into our life and it speaks to us up close and personal. You know, and it's a discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Have you ever sat through a message that you just couldn't wait for it to be over? Maybe every week, huh? No, hope not. But I mean, the whole idea is that sometimes when the word of God gets spoken, sometimes the conviction level rises to the point where we become really uncomfortable. I used to sit in the services over at Berea Baptist Church long before I ever got saved, and I would almost bet you money that the preacher looked at me the whole time. I was the only person he looked at the whole time, and everything he had to say was about my life. And it was awful. And I couldn't wait for it to be over. And I wish I'd have had that illustration from George Burns, where I could have said, get it done so I can go home. And there are times, folks, if we're honest, the end is way more important than the process. I can only say that to you because I lived it. And I'm sad that I did. Scripture provides plenty of reason for you and I to have a worship experience. There's so many things in there. Luke 2:10-11 presents the gospel as good tidings of great joy for all people. This is good news. This is good news. The truth of the gospel, as seen in the person of Jesus Christ, is foretold all throughout the Bible. The Old Testament, Isaiah 41, verse 27. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. We know that the gospel is preached. We know that the gospel exhibits the grace of God. Acts 14, 3. We know that the gospel provides an avenue for people to understand the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6. You know, the gospel tells us about life and immortality. They're brought to light in the person of Jesus Christ. They're brought to us through the gospel in 2 Timothy verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 10. The gospel is called the power of God unto salvation in Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 1:18, and 1 Thessalonians 1:5. I have had opportunities to talk to people throughout my lifetime, and I've had people, and I've shared this with you before, but it becomes so real when I think about it this way. The gospel is the power unto salvation for those who are willing to hear that, and it goes sort of like this. I've had people look at me and say, you know what? I'm a really good father. I'm a really good husband. I'm a really good employee. I'm a really good neighbor. I'm a good citizen of the United States of America. I respect our soldiers. I'm a really good guy. Doesn't that matter? And my response to them is this. It matters, but not as it relates to salvation. Because you see, none of that's going to get you saved if you're lost. And there are often times that people will step out into their eternity with what I would call wishful thinking, and they're going to call that hope. And have you ever heard this said? Well, I sure hope that when I go to be with Jesus, that my good just a little bit outweighs my bad so that I'm going to have my place in heaven secure. Have you ever heard somebody say it like that? I sure hope that when it's all said and done, that my goodness is going to outweigh my badness, and Jesus is going to smile on me and open the door. The testimony of this word, my friend, is that no one comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. That's considered really narrow today in the world that we live in. Well, you think you've got the only answer. I got the answer that this book provides. And this is my marching orders, and I believe it's absolutely accurate. You see, the Bible tells us a lot. When we preach the Word of God, we realize that the gospel is indeed, without any doubt, it is the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The gospel presents Christ as the preeminent one, Colossians 1:15 through 18. It presents Jesus Christ as the source of grace. We want grace. We don't want justice. I don't want to pay what I should pay for the things that I've done wrong. And God in His grace and in His mercy sent Jesus Christ so I could be forgiven. And He paid the price for me that I couldn't pay. You see, when we speak about worship, we speak about speaking the truth of the Word of God. And when we get that truth in our heart and in our minds, we can say, yes, thank you for that. I couldn't do it on my own. Thank you that I get this privilege to worship with my brothers and sisters, that I get to come here and I can be real before you. If I need to come to this altar and I can pray, I'm not going to be judged, and it doesn't really matter if you are, because the one that really matters is what He thinks about what's going on with you. I can come here and I can sing. I can come here and I can pray. I can come here and I can laugh. I can come here and I can cry. I can be hugged and loved by my brothers and my sisters. I can be real here. I can tell God exactly what's going on as if He didn't already know. Gospel is our source of salvation. Acts 13:26. And the book of Acts says it in several places. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you, what, Randy? Shall be saved. Not maybe, not if, not if the weather's right, not if it's the right day or the right time. If you call upon the name of the Lord, listen, if you're here today and you're as lost as yesterday, and you know that there's never, ever, ever been a moment in your life when you've actually said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am lost in my sins. I can do nothing for myself. Would you please save me? And then did you see a real change in your life that indicated you moved from being absolutely lost to being absolutely saved? Not by something that you did, but by something that he did. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the source of our salvation. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the source of our reconciliation. We've been made right, 2 Corinthians 5:19. We've been reconciled unto God, all because of what God did. It's the source of our truth. Ephesians 1:13, James 1:18. Jesus said, I am the way, the and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Powerful, powerful. Jesus is the source of faith, Romans 10:8. And Jesus is the source of life, John 14:6. You see, my friends, I believe with all my heart that the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the heart of all biblical preaching. And if I ever stop preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I am failing not only myself, but I'm failing you even more so. There should never be a service that I have the privilege to stand here and share with you about the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus, about the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll never want to forget ever to talk about what he's done for you and I. And if we could not step foot in this building or any other building anywhere and worship God based on the truth of those things, something is wrong in our relationship. Does God deserve our praise? Who else would deserve it? Does he deserve our presence? Does he deserve our attention to the Word of God? Listen, I'm going to put a plug in for you right now, and it's been bothering me a little bit. We do have Sunday school classes, guys and girls, and there are teachers in those Sunday school classes. And you know what? I would want it to get to the place where we got to find another room because there are so many of you in there. This book has the truth from cover to cover. This book should be cherished by you and I. This book should be read. It should be studied. Teachers who have the gift of sharing that word should bring that to you and I passionately and compassionately as well. We should be anxious for the opportunity to slide into a Sunday school class where a teacher has prepared an opportunity to deliver the word of God, because this is a source of salvation and grace and reconciliation and truth and faith and life and so many other things that time will not even allow us to discuss this morning. This gospel is so valuable. It is so incredibly important that you and I understand it, and I get the privilege to share it with you. The gospel itself is the power of God that edifies and encourages people. We worship as we listen to the preached word. I believe that I would have gotten saved earlier had I listened to the preached word. See, being in the building and having it happen is one thing. Hearing it and making application is something completely different. I still can hear my dad. Boy, are you listening to me? Some of y'all probably heard something similar to that in your lifetime too. And I wanted so bad to say, nope. Don't care. Not now. Get over it. And as a teenager, those are all the wrong things to say to your dad. But think about that spiritually. We come here of our own free will. We sit in nice padded pews. In the summer, we're in the air conditioning. In the winter, we're in the heat. And on the in-between, it don't matter. You got brothers and sisters to your right and brothers and sisters to your left. You get to sing. You get to pray. You get to fellowship. You get to laugh. And sometimes you ever get to cry. You get to testify. Why do we not worship, given all of those things? It'll be like going to the restaurant and pulling up a chair, and they bring you out your fork and your knife and your spoon and your napkin, and they bring you out whatever it is you want to drink, and you order something, and they bring this beautiful plate of food to you, and you sit and look at it. Would you do that? That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? So why is it that we show up here on a fairly regular basis and we listen to the great word of God being preached and taught and sung and prayed and everything else, and we leave the same way we came? It's because we fail to worship the God who is worthy. The third thing, we worship God through the word when we extol the power and the wonder of God. How do you explain the power and the wonder of God? I have no idea how he parted the Red Sea. I have no idea how he brought people back from the dead. How he made iron to float and donkeys to talk. I don't have any idea. Don't get no ideas. I do not look like a donkey. I don't look like no donkey. But the wonder of God, the power of God. Does that ever pass through up here where we have to try to figure it all out? When we commend God, when we compliment God, when we applaud God, when we acclaim God, when we celebrate God's greatness, believe it or not, my friends, that's an act of worship. That is an act of worship. Fourth of all, when we worship God through the word, when Christ is exalted as the source of redemption, that's what I just talked about a minute ago. I got a little ahead of myself. God's not the author of sin, my friends. God is the source of redemption. When we preach, what happens? We share the mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6:19. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit moved on men to write these thoughts and wonders, Acts 1:16, Hebrews 3:7, 2 Peter 1:21. My friends, this is an inspired word from God himself. He spoke these things. The Spirit of God spoke to men who wrote these things down. We can take this to the bank. It is absolutely true from front to back, cover to cover, and I believe that with all my heart. We received his word through the inspiration of a sovereign God, a God who's in control, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We know that God sent his son to reconcile us to himself. So when we preach redemption, we preach the plan and the purpose of God. When I have the opportunity and the privilege to stand before you and open this book and tell you, as honestly as I know how, here's great news. If you're lost today, you don't have to leave here that way. You can give your life to Christ. Your whole life can change right here and now. You were walking that direction. Now you can change and go this direction. And Brother Greg, I'm going to use you this morning as an example. That's my brother, my fishing buddy, my equal opportunity offender, and his wife, who's just as bad. I'm sorry. You're right, I'm not. Reese is not sorry. Years ago at Gabway, I had the privilege to be interim pastor, and I didn't know Greg and Robin and their family from anybody. And one Sunday morning, I finished preaching, and I don't know what the subject matter was. And you know what? It really didn't make any difference, but invitation time came, and Greg was sitting in the back, back where my wife usually sits. And I love you, Diane. I just had to say that. You're off in the corner back there. And I got deacons back there, too. Boy, I had to talk about this. Invitation was given, and I think on the first note, Greg stepped out, and he come down the aisle, and he grabbed me by the hand. He looked me in the eyes. He said, I need to be saved. No pretense. Awesome. And look where he's at now. See, we don't know, my friend. You don't know when you share your testimony. You don't know when you pick up this word. You don't know when you sing the great songs of the faith, when we have the privilege to worship. You don't know when somebody heard your prayer that their whole life changes like that. And there was no discussion. Didn't need to be any discussion. Greg realized that on that day he was lost. And when he left that church building, he was not lost. My friend Monty Godet took him in the back room, and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with my brother Greg, and he got saved. That happens everywhere. It should happen everywhere. So when we get to preach, when I get the privilege to preach, my friend, that's worship. It can be worship for you when you hear the word of God, when you realize and recognize you are loved beyond any beyond your wildest imagination. You are loved way more than you can ever explain with words. The price paid for you is way beyond anything you could ever even imagine. And it's available to you and I because it's provided for us through the love of God. And when I get that opportunity to preach that, I don't ever want to be haphazard about this. It needs to be emotional. It needs to be passionate. You have the opportunity to know God as your Savior. How much better does it get? And if you already know Him as your Savior, you've been able to live in that relationship. And how blessed are you? The Bible clearly tells us that God provides His Word for the purpose of bringing human beings unto Himself. This is not just something else that we do at the end of the singing. This is something else that allows us to share the Word of God so that people might be given an opportunity to be saved. He's given us the Scriptures from His own heart. Is it any wonder when we read and hear the Word of God that we are prone to worship? No. When you really hear it, and when you really read it, it moves us to say thank you. It moves us to praise and exalt our Lord and Savior because of the great things that He's already done and what He wants to continue to do. The Scriptures are full of sufficient and unerring guide, Proverbs 6:23, 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. I believe that the same, Word of God is able to make us wise, to show us the right way, to show us the path that we should go on. Show us the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And finally, and I close with this, preaching the word engages us in worship. We are edified by the promises of the gospel. Do you realize that there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God? Some of those are conditional. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But many of them are just as clear as it gets. Promises about the Word of God. We've talked about it already. God's good all the time. God's Word is faithful and true. It edifies, it encourages, it refreshes us as we worship together. The Bible's described in a marvelous way. There's so many things that could be described about what the Bible is all about. Preachers need to preach from an overflow of a genuine worship of God. I can't bring this word to you unless this word has changed my life. I can give you facts and information, but I can never have a worship experience without a living personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Being reminded of all we have shared and much more. When God and His word are given their rightful place of exaltation, of wonder, of majesty, and of worship, I believe then and only then will our lives change for the better and we will begin to grow as we should. So many years I just showed up and I went through the process. I heard Him sing and I heard Him pray and I heard Him teach and I heard Him preach. And as I look back, I'm sad that it didn't happen for me earlier. Maybe it hasn't happened for you yet. Maybe this is just something else that you feel maybe you ought to do on a Sunday morning. My prayer is that every time we meet as Lena Vista Baptist Church, we meet because we really want to worship the awesome God that we serve. That becomes the number one thing. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your long suffering, for hearing my prayers, for giving me strength that I don't have. And we can go on and on and on and on, and we should go on and on and on because He is all of that and more. I love what one dying man had a terrible, terrible disease, and he'd been ministered to and worshiped. He worshiped God even through his illness. And he made this statement. It really stuck with me. He said, When you stand on the truth of God's word, it's always solid at the bottom. So much of the junk that you and I hear today, so much of stuff that's peddled as the truth, and it really isn't. So many answers to issues and problems that go on in this world right now. They tell us how to go about taking care of them. And so very little of them have anything to do with the truth of the Word of God. We had a long discussion in our Sunday school lesson this morning. It's the first time ever that I can remember we had 6 minutes left in the class and we finally had our opening prayer. We were in discussion. Sue, I know you've been there. Sometimes God has another lesson to teach that you didn't bring. But you know what, folks? The thing about it, I think more than anything else this morning, what I wanted to impress on your heart is that there are so many things that we get to do that have worship written all over them. And sometimes we've taken that for granted, or sometimes we've isolated all of the parts and pieces of this puzzle called worship. And sometimes we've made it look like that we have to have the right kind of this or the right kind of that, or we have to go through that process or jump through this hoop. We have to go here or we have to go there. It has to look a certain way. It has to be designed a certain way. It has to make everybody feel good. That we've totally missed the most important thing about our worship, and that is the object of our worship. That's what real preaching should do. It should say to you with no apology whatsoever, our God is our object of worship. He is the person of truth that we should elevate, that we should magnify, that we should praise. He is the person who should get all of our praise. He is the person that is the reason for why we show up here and we do what we do. He is the reason why you and I can have a sweet, warm, and loving kind of fellowship. He is the reason why you and I can be brothers and sisters. And he is the reason why this experience called corporate worship is so incredibly valuable. Because not only do we get to say to him alone in our own private thoughts, God, you're awesome, but we now get to do it corporately as well. And that, my friend, is the goal of corporate worship. I don't ever want to be incredibly boring, maybe somewhat boring, but not incredibly boring. I want to share the Word of God with you passionately and honestly and truthfully. I won't sugarcoat it for you. Not my place. If what's been said and done here this morning has caused a little stirring inside of your spirit, thank you, God. You'll leave here knowing you've been in church. This is a place where change can be made. This is a place where brothers and sisters can be brothers and sisters, and we can celebrate with you. Maybe you need to make the same choice my brother Greg made. Maybe you just need to step out and come right down here and look me in the eyes and say, Brother Kenny, I am as lost as yesterday. And I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Can we make that happen today? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can make that happen. Maybe that's your heartbeat. Maybe you're looking for a church family to be a part of. I don't know a better one. But let me say it like this. If this is where God wants you to be, then this is where we want you to be. And that's where it starts. If he wants you here, we want you here as well. We'll love you. We'll aggravate you. We'll laugh with you. We'll cry with you. We'll hug your neck. We might even step on your toe from time to time. But if this is where you belong, please come on. Maybe, for some reason, the whole purpose of worship has slipped away. Maybe you're sitting here and you haven't had that experience and you want to. Might need some time at the altar. These are wide open, friends. Don't hesitate to come down here. Whatever the Spirit of God has made real to you today, my prayer is that you'll just do it. Just do it. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we love you. We exalt you. We praise you. We lift you up. You are so incredible and awesome. It's impossible to outgive you. It's impossible to outlove you. It's impossible to be better than you. I so thank you that you love us enough to send Jesus. As we gather here, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, help us never miss an opportunity to have a worship experience. It don't have to be loud and out loud. It can be very private and very quiet and very real and very serene. But God, I pray, don't let us miss these opportunities, because we are not promised to have another one. So thank you that we've had this one today. May we all leave here a little better and a little different for your glory and for our growth. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 312.
She just looked at me and she said, I'm coming home.
Amen.
So she is coming to us by letter from First Baptist Church in Winter Haven. All in favor of receiving her as a full-blown, card-toting, government grade A inspected member, say amen.
Amen.
Any opposition, same sign?
Amen.
this is awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that God is in this. I'm looking forward to being your full-blown pastor right now, and come here and keep singing and keep praising God and keep loving the Lord and showing us how it's done. I'm going to ask if you would welcome me to the back there, and let all these people love on you and hug on you just a little bit on the way out. What a great day in God's house, don't you think?
Amen. Way to go, Lacey.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to get my stuff. Turn this stuff over to Mark. It's all you, brother.
Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed. Brother Carl, will you dismiss us, please?
Yeah. Right, Heavenly Father, thanks for the opportunity we've had to come together this morning and worship and glorify King Jesus. Just tasted the Bible that we heard. We won't just be hearers, but doers. And thank you for the good instruction we received. We go out into the dark world and it might be let a light shine for this church. Praise Jesus.